Welcome to Business Grind Radio, a podcast dedicated to entrepreneurs, dreamers, business owners, and anyone passionate about business or starting a business. I'm Ryan Lucia, your co-host of the show. I'm 37 years old and I'm a business owner, passionate about helping others and working with startups and growth. I have two wonderful people here with me today. Both of them work for me, and we've decided to jump out and start a podcast together. I have no clue how this is going to go, but we're going to give it a shot and see. First, we'd like to introduce John. John, tell him a little bit about yourself.
So yeah, my name is John Strong. I work with Ryan at Aaron Overhead Doors, born and raised in Gwinnett, Georgia. Grew up a PK, a pastor's kid. Most recently, I spent a couple of years overseas working with an international organization as a project manager. Got a little homesick and moved home. When I got back, somehow found myself working for this crazy garage door company with this guy named Ryan Lucia. Hobbies would include things like...
We are family.
We
can get into that, but...
He is my cousin.
We are also related.
They say don't work with your family.
That's probably true.
Sometimes.
But it's working out.
On the side, I enjoy... I'm a musician. I'm married. We don't have kids, but we do have some dogs, which are kind of like kids to us and require probably the same amount of attention. But just enjoying it. Glad to be here.
And Mariah, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hey, I'm Mariah. I'm actually a Georgia girl, lives here all my life, grew up all over the state. I was a dance major over at Kennesaw State, and now I'm Aaron's full-time personal assistant. Well, Aaron Overhead Door full-time personal assistant. Yeah. I probably love anything you can put before me that's a challenge. I love to read. I love to travel. Some of my favorite things to do are just to learn about the world.
She came to me through a referral, and I was stressed out with all the crap work that's dumped on people every day. And so I was I had vented to one of my neighboring desk partners at a co-working space about needing someone to help take all this stuff off of me. And so in doing that, I found Mariah, and I liked her when I spoke to her. For the main reason that she negotiated her pay right there on the first call, and she was firm about it. And I knew, I was like, this girl's got a backbone. And so I kind of like that about her. And so that was, I think, I didn't know if you knew that, but that was kind of one of the things that really attracted me to bring you on board. Not only that, was some of the other things that we had discussed, but yeah, that was one thing that I could point out for sure.
You hired her on site, right?
Yeah, over the phone. We met for breakfast.
Yeah, no, it was about 20 minutes into the breakfast. You're like, okay, let's do this. And I was like, what? Really?
Yeah. I'm usually that's how I do my interviews anyway.
Get the phone call. You're on the way to interview somebody later that day. They're in the office. You're like, this is my personal assistant.
Yeah. That is true.
You gave me a full day of work that day. Like we met you 20 minutes in. You're like, let's do this. And then 10 minutes later, you're telling me what my schedule is for that day.
Yeah.
So
it worked out really good. All right. So I want to run through a little bit about the show. It's what you guys can expect when listening to Business Grind Radio. We are not radio guys. So there might be some things that we say or do that might be a little bit out of the box. You might hear some ums and hums in here. We're going to try to eliminate those as much as possible. But we are startup guys. I've started up a couple of different businesses. Most recently, Aaron Overhead Doors, a garage door company. I'd like to tell you guys about the story a little bit later. We don't have any experience in doing radio, podcasts, anything like that. You're going to get raw, uncut. What you see is what you get, not just with us, but the production here. So we're actually broadcasting live, and we're gonna archive this and get it out to all the podcast sites so that you can subscribe. We want you to subscribe to the radio show so that you can listen to us. We're going to have a show that we broadcast live once a month, but we're going to try to increase that over time. But our busy schedules with the startup that we're doing is going to prevent us from doing weekly shows for the short term. But as we get a little bit more balance, we're going to hope to go to a weekly. We hope to attract business owners and entrepreneurs who want to start a business or already have a business and looking to grow. I feel like that's kind of my expertise. And so first and foremost,
we want to have fun.
We want to have fun.
I mean, there's like a million different podcasts out there for business. But when we were talking about what we wanted to do and why we wanted to do it, I think we boiled it down to some pretty basic goals that we have for what we want to get across. And on the top of that list was, let's have a blast with this. Let's not make this something stressful. Make it enjoyable for us and everybody who's listening.
We're so busy. And I think the reason why we came up with the name Business Grind Radio is because business, if done right, I think can be, especially a startup, is just a grind. And so we really do, I think all three of us just grind it out every day. And so I wanted to do this as something that we could do to have fun, almost like a hobby, but we really have a passion for growing this and making it something special. We also want to educate entrepreneurs. So I know there's a lot of questions. I host an entrepreneur group. We run anywhere from, I think on a small group, we've been like 5, 6, but we've had as many as probably 25, 30 people. When we just break down how to grow a business, how to start a business, the nuts and bolts, the practical part, the layman's terms, educating people from the beginning. And so we're going to share some of that information here with you guys. Inspiring you is part of what we're going to do. Hopefully, if you are that person who just needs that inspiration to get started, we're going to push you over the edge. We are not responsible for all or any losses that you experienced during that, but hopefully we will get you there where you want to be. So we want to motivate you to jump out and start your own thing. We're real. We're going to give it to you raw and real and just tell you how it is. I've asked John and Mariah to be honest about their experience with working with me to a degree. I think there's some things that could probably be left out.
This is our opportunity right here.
They're going to, they've got my full blessing to really discuss whatever they want to discuss with dealing with a business owner and an entrepreneur and kind of what they see out of that and what they get out of it. And sometimes it's scary starting your own business. And so we're going to talk a little bit about the good, the bad, and the ugly, and where we go with that. We're going to do this with you. We're going to tell you, as we're growing our startup, we're going to tell you some of the things that we're battling and kind of let you be part of our business. But then we also want to, we're going to bring in people to interview who have established businesses, startups, and even people who have failed. I'd like to get some people who have failed in business and find out, you know, what it was about, what caused the failure. So we just want to bring all different aspects to you so that you guys can feel educated and inspired to jump out and do your own thing. And so I'm a business owner. I'm co-owner with Business Sense Media with my man John over here, who's my cousin and works for me also with Aaron Overhead Doors. And then I've got Mariah here who also works for me.
So yeah, I think, you know, looking at this whole podcast thing, I was one of the reasons I wanted to be involved in it was because I feel like my experience in coming to work for Aaron Overhead Doors and then all the other crazy stuff we've gotten up to since I got into it has kind of shown me a lot about probably myself as well as what I bring to the table. And it's also made me passionate to let people know, hey, when you go to work for a startup or for an entrepreneur, there's some things you have to know, right? So on one hand, this is what Ryan was talking about, where I get to be honest. I'm a planner, a thinker. I'm the detail-oriented person. If there's any stone unturned, I'm laying awake at night worrying why we didn't turn that stone. But what's interesting is I come to work for Ryan and I find myself every day with this guy who's a dreamer and he's always looking out to the horizon and he's jetting out after every hope and dream he has. And that's really unique. It creates for a unique tension. And I think in the early days we were working together, it can kind of feel a little bit raw. Like, is our working relationship entirely right here? Like, am I missing the mark somewhere? Is there something you should be doing? And learning how to live in that tension, that's something I've actually gotten passionate about with talking with other people who work for startups, is saying, hey, you know, you're going to have to be aware of like where your CEO or where your owner's coming from and how you come alongside that and you bring some balance to it. Kind of reminded of when the first time that I started talking to my wife about taking this position, because we're family, she knew you and knew about you. And we were chatting. I was like, I think I'm going to go over and work with Ryan. And she kind of looked at me wide eyed, like, are you ready to do that? I said, I don't know. We'll see. And as we've gotten into it, it's been funny that the conversations we've had when I get home, because when you work for a startup, it's not just 9 to 5, it's a lifestyle. Right. Like you're living it. So coming home and having those conversations and hearing her reflect back and seeing how our relationship has grown, it's stretched me, it's challenged me. But I think in a way, it's probably also stretched and challenged you to be working with someone who's like as into the details as I am.
Right. And I think that's part of being a good leader is surrounding yourself with people who have strengths where your weaknesses are at. And I think you two represent my two biggest weaknesses. Organization.
I'm really interested to hear what these two biggest weaknesses are.
What do I bring to the table?
No, I mean, I just think that like, John, I mean, for instance, when you came on board, I really needed what you brought to the table. And that was organization. And, you know, I'm good with setting processes with operations. But when things hit the fan and they're busy and you're running around doing everything yourself for the most part, which is kind of what I was doing when you came on board, right? I mean, I was doing all my own sales. And John's doing my sales for new garage doors. But the interesting thing about it is I abandon my own policies when it gets too busy.
Mm. And we have that on the record now.
Yeah, that's you really do good. Have it on the record. So it's, you know, like I'll hold everyone to those. But, you know, running a company and doing sales at the same time, like I was doing and working 16, 18 hours a day was very stressful. And so the policy or policies are only as important, I think, in a startup as they are. You know, ultimately, it's get the sale and all else will figure it out along the way. And so even though like if I would have maintained those policies, I probably would have been more organized and it probably would have been a little bit better. I'm just not very good at that. So, John, I think you coming on board and helping build structure and be organized, I think that was a big help. And I don't
getting teary-eyed.
Yeah, I mean, you should. And as far as like Mariah, like, I mean, when I brought you on, I mean, I was pulling my hair out for the most part just because I think I get caught up in the weeds sometimes with all the junk, right? That you just, that bog you down. I mean, I could probably spend all day replying to emails and then get nothing done. And so the greatest thing that I found out was there's a delegate option on Gmail. And when I found that out, it was like, oh, wait a minute, I can delegate my email to someone else. And so that was the trickle effect that started my whole search for someone to take
seriously
over. Yeah.
My job came from an email delegate option.
Yeah, that was how it was created. And so that's actually how I make most of my decisions. I think that's important. When you're a leader or a business owner, if you surround yourself with people who are just like you, you're going to fail miserably because it's going to be mass chaos. So you guys bring a lot of structure and organization. And
I think in our working relationship, we definitely see that, you know, that's one of my big things is bring structure, bring order, make sure that we're following the processes and so we can catch anything falling through the cracks. I'm curious to know. I know what we think Mariah brings to the table. She's, you know, she keeps the wheels moving. She makes sure that, you know, everything that falls in your circle that needs to be dealt with gets addressed if you don't have the time to get to it. But I'm interested to hear from Mariah. Like, I haven't even asked you this question yet. We've only been working together for a short time. What do you think you bring to the table?
Well, that's kind of cool. I've been around small businesses my whole life. My mom's an entrepreneur. She's always doing something great. She loves to be on the edge of projects. So she's never settled down on one thing. And she's awesome. She's amazing. And so I got to work with her a lot. I kind of consider myself, my first job was being my mom's assistant in her work. And so this is my second job. And I'm pretty young. I'm 18. I just graduated from high school no more than a year ago. So for me,
which, by the way, I found out after I extended the offer that she was 18. And I will not deny the fact that I second guessed myself when I found out she was 18. I was like, how much could she know at 18 years old? But she's sharp. I mean, you would think that she carries herself like she's 25. So
yeah, I kind of had a panic attack when you said that after I told you how old I was. I kind of freaked out. I was like, oh God, I just
you saw
got
the look
job.
On my
no.
face.
Oh no, yeah. And you were like, I never would have hired an 18-year-old. I stopped breathing. I was like, I no. But yeah,
she already turned down like four other job offers. Yeah, right. She said yes because she just loves garage doors.
Right.
Oh yeah, totally. But yeah, with my personality, I can't deal with already established things. I love to be developing and creating, and so small businesses are the best way to do that. I mean, you are creating the business, you are creating the process, and you are basically making your own path, and that's what I love. And it is one of the biggest ways to be successful in a small business is to bring in people and leaders who are strong in areas you're not strong. And one of my biggest strengths is to question people.
I know that's right.
To question why they're doing something, to keep them on track with what matters.
Y'all both do that, by the way.
Well,
we actually have a secret meeting once a week.
Yeah, no, it's
we compare notes.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it.
So working with Ryan and John has been really an awesome experience to come to respect people and find out their little gifts and strengths that make forming a small business magical and making it just a fantastic experience. And so
she has a way of making it sound beautiful when it's like mass chaos every day.
Oh no, it is. It's chaos. I mean, if you're going to start a small business, you better know that it's hard, it's gritty, it's weird, it's uncomfortable, and you're going to do stuff you're not good at and you're going to suck at it.
Yeah.
And it's just going to happen over and over and over again until you just finally get to a point where you got past it and you learned how to do it. And whoa, oh my gosh, I'm turning a profit. Hold on, this is working. Maybe I can actually pay off my mortgage and maybe buy a new house kind of thing. Like it's a process. It's hard. And that's awesome.
Sounds like she's a future business owner, doesn't it?
She's a competition.
Yeah.
She's a competition. So we also spent a lot of time talking when we thought about doing this podcast as to who we wanted to be speaking to. And that was a big thing for us, is we didn't want to just create a general show. So we wanted to make sure that the content we provided was applicable to a specific audience. And I mean, we spent like 2 or 3 hours in the office one day going through this.
Which apparently wasn't enough for you.
It wasn't. We could have used a couple more meetings.
We had a dry erase board and a marker.
Yeah, that was rough. But one of the things that we talked about, and I think a lot of this is because of our stories, kind of where we all come from, is the people we want to be speaking to. We think there's a lot of them. People who are stuck behind a desk. You've got a huge dream. You're really excited about that dream, but you're stuck behind a desk. You're working somewhere and there might be a bunch of fears, right? Like, how am I going to pay my mortgage if I take the leap? How am I going to pay my car note if I take the leap? What will my spouse think? What will my friends and family think? I mean, I think even when some of us get flack there from even friends and family, like, and that, those kinds of pressures will keep you behind the desk and keep you from running after what you want to run after and getting after your dreams. So that was like our, when we imagined who would be listening to
us.
The world's created that way.
I mean, we are all trained from kindergarten forward that security, job, house, wife, husband, whatever. I mean, that is how we're hardwired, even through college. I think they do a really good job of teaching us how to be an employee.
Right.
I
think even though there's a system there that a lot of people feel something or have a dream for something bigger. And in my mind, who do I want listening to this podcast? Who do we want listening to this podcast? You're sitting behind a desk. You got us in your earbud and you're kind of thinking like, maybe it is time to jump out there and do it. The other people that we talked about that would really benefit from what we want to bring to the table is people who've started a business and they want to know more about growing it. So you've gotten past that, and this is something that I think even we're growing in a lot. You've gotten past the hump of just getting the business off the ground.
Right.
You're over the first few speed bumps and now you're shifting from just survive at all costs to build a brand, start to establish yourself in your market, start to take more branch out, get more established, get your roots down deeper. Those are people we want to talk to as well. You've taken the leap, but now, you're starting to kind of maybe second guess yourself a little bit. You're starting to get worried. You're starting to think like, I'm having a slow season. Maybe it's time to call my old boss. Like, how do you keep on going? How do you keep the wheels moving?
I call it the glass ceiling. Every business hits a glass ceiling. Not to be confused with a season, but there's glass ceilings in every business. And depending on how fast you're growing, you could hit a glass ceiling in a month. You could hit a glass ceiling in 6 months, a year, and there's multiple. And so half the battle is recognizing where the glass ceiling's at and then breaking through it with a big old hammer.
Yeah.
With a big splash.
And then going out and celebrating.
And then going out and celebrating.
Having a good time.
Having a good time.
And getting ready for the next glass ceiling.
Start a podcast.
The other person we have in mind listening to this is there's a lot of people, I think a lot of people we even know from all the networking groups we're in who have started a business. It's nice and established, but now they kind of feel like it's time to get back into growth mode and they haven't really seen explosive growth in a while. How do you kind of get back to that startup mentality? How do you kind of get back to some of those things that were working well for a while, but then you stop practicing those certain things and you're starting to get stagnant and you want to see your business go to the next level? What are we going to do to actually catalyze that growth? I mean, that's the other person that I have in mind listening to this, But one thing we've been hinting at this entire time is kind of the uniqueness of our story and the company that we all work for full-time. We got a lot of other things we play with. But Ryan, when you want to share a little bit about Aaron Overhead Doors, how we kind of got off the ground, just a little bit of the background of that story?
All right. So I do think that the story of how Aaron Overhead Doors got off the ground is, I like to call it almost romantic, because I'm very passionate about startups. But my background has nothing to do with the service industry or garage doors, or if you ask my wife, tools, anything to do with anything, fixing anything other than sales. I've grown up in sales and marketing almost my whole life. Been part of a couple of startups, helped grow them successfully or grown them successfully myself if they were mine. I actually worked for a software company for about 8 years, and the grind of that was rough. I made good money and made the company a lot of money. And I think my favorite part about being in that environment was the teams that I got to build. I loved the people that worked for me. And also at the time, I liked to travel, but I'm married, I got kids, and I want to be part of their lives. And so being in software sales out of Atlanta, you're traveling a lot, you're doing things that that are keeping you from your family. And so I started a marketing and consulting firm back in the mid-2000s. And one of the clients that we accepted was Larry of Aaron Overhead Doors in California. And when we took on a client, we really dug deep into their business. We wanted to understand what's their most profitable part of their business. What's the least profitable? We wanted to know what do we want to market for? What do we want to go out there and try to get? And so through that process, I started seeing the margins on things. And through the marketing, I started seeing how much business we could drive and kind of understanding the business as a whole. And I was like, man, I could do this one day. Like, this is something that is pretty fun. What it turned into was, it wasn't really something that I had put into a plan of action, but we got acquired with the software company a few years later. And, it was 2014. So this is kind of recent. So it was many years later. And when that happened, I kind of started to put things in motion for myself, just trying to think of what type of company I could start. Because I knew at this point I did not want to work for anyone else. I'm just not wired to do well with authority over me for whatever reason.
What do they call that?
Authority. I struggle with that.
Struggling with authority. That's what they call it.
Okay. I definitely struggle with authority. And I think most entrepreneurs do have a little bit of that in them, as you do.
Nah, I have no problems with authority.
You have no, okay. Yeah.
Well, we got to stick to the story,
maybe with
though.
Your authority.
Maybe with my authority. That might be it.
Was this the line we drew before the show? We can't cross this line. Yeah, so we'll keep going.
All right. So so once we got acquired, I started looking around, thinking about what I could do, and ran through a couple different businesses. And I told my wife, why don't we start a garage door company? And she was like, absolutely not. You don't know anything about garage doors. How are we going to do it? She had all these questions. And so it was our anniversary. I remember I took her to a little island off the Keys. It's like secluded, really expensive. I think we dropped like $600 for dinner. This thing was like the real deal. You got to take a boat out to this thing. We had deer out. They spread like rose petals out on the beach, and we had dinner on the beach. It was just a really good experience. And I remember her looking at me and just saying, let's do it. And that was kind of the moment. And then like from that period on, the whole like thing went wild, because my mind started going at that point, and I started running with all the ideas. And so our whole vacation was shot, because now I'm ready to go. So I start planning. We launched the business, and I flew out to California, trained how to do how to install and repair garage doors. And once I got back, I turned on marketing, and we went after it. And so now we got about 6 or 7 people, and we're growing, and things are going really well. And we got some aggressive goals, and we're trying to accomplish those by growing the company.
Right.
Are we having some microphone issues?
I thought we were, but I just spoke in my mic and realized it's still live. I did lose half my headset, though.
So John, as I'm talking, trying to tell the story, he's like taking his headset off, looking under the table, like he's dropped a $100 bill and there's 100 people in here trying to get
it. I lost half my headset. I think I'm halfway unplugged out.
Okay,
there.
You're good.
I think I am too.
So the company is super successful right now, and we're looking to expand into other services and grow. And then we also at the same time are starting this media company. This media company is going to be kind of our way of sharing our experience and growth. And so I'm a software guy who has jumped into the service industry to start my own business and have fun with it. So it was an all-in experience for me and my wife, because we had to cash out our retirement, refinance our house, we paid off our debt. I mean, we did everything. We were all in. And we had probably 6 months to accomplish a certain revenue amount so that we could pay ourselves before we ran out of money. We crossed that at just the right moment. So that was kind of the story behind starting Air and Overhead Doors and where we're at.
What's before the show, we were talking about it. We were all out front talking about kind of what a lot of people think business is. And I think, Mariah, you made a great point. There's some deep South, like if you're from the South, there's some deep South kind of good old boy business philosophy. And then there's how we do business, or how Ryan Lucia does business. And we were chatting about it, that there's just a really unique flavor to what we're doing. I mean, we jumped into garage doors and we just didn't take no for an answer. We didn't stop. We didn't slow down. It was at all costs, get revenue on the books. Go, go, go. There's a lot of things that we laid down as foundational values, right? Like customer service is going to be at the top. Being on our A game as far as if when you hire us, you get the best experience. Delivering quality products. All those things that I think everybody can agree a business should strive for. But then there was also this culture among us of like, and Ryan, you drove it. And I think this is something unique that you bring to people, saying, hey, if you're going to get your business going, you're going to have to fight for it. And I've kind of like coined the term, like Ryan Lucia's business startup philosophy is like Wild West business. Like,
yeah. You say that all the time. And we've talked about it. And I think there's this, I think that if you grew up in Georgia and haven't been part of a lot of different startups, I think that it's easy to view it that way. But maybe it is Wild World. But I mean, I'm willing to accept the fact that I'm a cowboy, because, I mean, I have been called that at my previous employer, kind of a one-off do my own thing type of, but they,
I think it's a good thing. I don't think it's a slam. I think the fact that from start date to just a few months later, getting the company to a point where it was sustainable for your family, and then bringing on, I mean, we've got like what, like 10, 11 folks that are a part of this in just over a year of being in business, and we're overshooting goals. We're growing faster than we thought we'd be growing. All those things are great. And I think that's something that we achieved because we came into an industry where nobody was doing business like this, and we just went after it with everything we had. And it stands out. People who know us and know about our business know that we're a little bit out of the box.
Yeah, like we are out of the box.
We don't do it like everybody else.
And I think that one thing that you touched on, but I definitely want to make sure that we make very clear, is the number one asset of the company is the people. So I'm very particular about who we hire, their attitude. If they're not smiling in the interview or on the phone when I talk to them for the first time, then they're out. Like, I don't even need to see your resume. You could be the most qualified person in the world, but if you're not smiling and you don't sound like you're excited about coming up to work here, then there's no option. Like, I'm totally out on it. And even if you're having a bad day that day, you just need to call back with a smile on your face, because I can hear a smile over the phone. So can everybody else. So I like to hear that, because even if you're going through a hard time, when you call a customer, you're going to have hard days with me. And I don't want them to feel that over the phone. And so it's important that we hire people with good attitudes, genuinely positive people. And then I try to leave it. I think we talked a little bit about this earlier, to where you guys can give honest feedback to me, because I do need that in my life. I mean, that was the reason why I think my wife and I are together now. I went buck wild and moved down to Miami for a little bit. And and I wrote her an email and told her how bad off I was getting, kind of sliding into some of my old ways. This is a long time ago, by the way. And she just wrote me back an email and said, you need to suck it up. You know what to do. Get back to Atlanta and get your life right. And that was like an eye-opening moment for me. And I was like, I need her in my life. And, you know, it didn't hurt that she was absolutely gorgeous and we had dated a while back. And so I came back here and started pursuing her. And that's kind of the story about how I got my wife. But I know sometimes it's the constructive criticism is critical. And so both of you guys are really good about telling me how it is, whether I agree with your opinion.
It looks like Mariah has something to say.
Oh, no. Yeah. Okay. well, since we're talking about the vision of Aaron, I've only been here like, what is it, less than a month now?
Yeah.
I'm a real new employee. I mean, Aaron's new anyways. But yeah, I really agree. Aaron is kind of special in its industry for sure. In garage doors, I mean, most garage door people are just guys who know garage doors really well and they just, you know, work out of their truck and they go out and they do the doors, which is great. And they're awesome at what they do. But Ryan kind of came in and shook up the whole world around here and basically decided, let's make a startup out of garage doors, because who would ever think to do that? And so the culture here is just really awesome. And you went all in, full out, 100%, which is just totally not how people do things half of the time. Because, you know, they'll go 50%, like, here's what I think I maybe can do, but I'll hold back just a little bit. So in case it goes wrong, I can run away. But no, you were like, 100%, let's do this. And you know, it's paid off. We come on to the end of your first year, you've got however many employees, you got people with a vision and people desire to learn and grow and buy into your vision. That's amazing. And I think that's what you need in your own heart to go and go at it and believe in yourself and believe in what you want to do before you can ever make it real.
Yeah, I definitely think you got to cast vision. And for everyone listening, I mean, the key here is replace garage doors with anything. I honestly believe, and I'm not trying to sound all about myself, but
starting to sound a little bit like the cult of Ryan Lucia.
No, I mean, I think we could have started any business for the most part. I mean, the reason that it was attractive to me to start garage doors is because I had a connection and it didn't require a lot of money, and it's not regulated by any third party by any means, so it's kind of a wild west
industry
anyway, and so. I didn't have all the hoops to jump through to start, and, you know, initial investment of $5,000 to get tools and, you know, everything that I needed to get off the ground. I built my own website, did my own marketing, and did my own sales and repairs to start out with. So I think that if you have a little bit of knowledge, you can study or find somebody willing to help you. The product itself isn't what makes you successful most of the time. It's the employees that you hire, your ability to cast vision, and how you execute what you do.
That's it.
So
that works.
Yeah. So listen, this is what we're going to do every month. We're going to talk about business. It's not going to be all about Aaron Overhead Doors, because I know everybody doesn't want to hear about Aaron Overhead Doors every week. But what we will tell you is some of the struggles that we're experiencing, some of the things that we're going up against, and then we're going to have guests on the show eventually, and we're just going to talk to you a little bit about how to jump out in faith. And it was not an easy decision for my wife or myself. It was scary. The numbers didn't add up on spreadsheets. I had built out like 4 or 5 different versions and none of them really looked great. I have no retirement anymore. The company is my retirement. Mariah, John, you are my retirement. I am sucked dry. I have very little capital, but we are growing fast and we're dumping everything back into the company. And so I want to talk about your experiences and our experiences. And so we're going to even have a phone number that we're going to give out next week that you can text in or you can email us and ask questions. And we're going to address those things. If you have interest in being a sponsor of the show, we are actively looking for advertisers, sponsors for the show. And so feel free to contact us right now. There's really no way to do that. So we will get you the information next week. I'm totally unprepared. And the reason I'm unprepared is because we had some issues come up and I got bogged down with work. So that's the raw and the real that we're talking about. So right now we got a little thing that we want to do. I bought 350 fortune cookies at lunch the other day with Mariah for a really good deal. I don't know if they're just genuinely cheap, but so we've passed them out in here. And we're going to open them up and just read our fortunes real quick. We're going to chat. We're going to get everybody in the room, even the producer's going to break open his cookie here. We'll let Trey, the producer, go first.
All right. Here's mine. You shall attain great wisdom with each passing year.
And hopefully that is true.
Hopefully.
Yeah. I heard you can pray for wisdom.
Because I need wisdom.
Yeah, we all do.
Okay, I'll go with mine next. Now is the time for peace in your life. Go along with others' ideas.
That's the one. That's the one she had twice in a row. I'm not kidding you. My friend.
Say it again.
Now is the time for peace in your life. Go along with others' ideas. What's scary is I feel like I have very little peace in my life.
You have no peace.
Go along with other people. Yeah,
you have no peace, and you just need to go along with all my ideas, which you're basically doing now.
I mean, on episode one, that's what I pick up.
Yeah, we're in a studio. Yeah, it's. I mean, I know. Like 3 months ago, you had no idea. Maybe even 2 months ago, that we'd ever be doing this.
It was Christmas Day that you first pitched this idea to me. I think
so. We're not even 30 days in, and we're hosting our first radio show.
Yeah, man.
That's how you gotta do it. Mariah, what's your say?
Okay. Time heals all wounds. Keep your chin up.
I like that.
That's nice.
That is good for you. Mine has nothing. Well, maybe. An interesting musical opportunity is in your near future. I mean, I got opportunities. If I chased every opportunity that I get, I'd be in trouble. But musical's probably not one that I really view myself. Maybe we could consider this. No, okay.
No.
It's on the radio. Mike, you want to read yours or you want to hand me yours? Trey, read Mike's.
Let's see. Mike's was, don't worry about the stock market, invest in family.
And he looks like we could be related. I don't know.
Very much so, yeah.
You Italian, Mike? Yeah, see, I'm Italian. So if you're, I got a couple business ideas if you're looking to invest. And since we look like family. And your fortune just told you. So, all right, guys. Yeah, we'll see you next month. Thank you for listening. And we hope to bring a lot of great content.